conservative bloggers continue to bash CNN today after the cable news network admitted they dropped the ball in allowing Brigadier General Keith Kerr to ask a question about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that bans open gaze from the military during Wednesday night's GOP debate in St. Petersburg. It was learned shortly after the debate that Kerr is a member of an LGBT group associated with Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Critics say that Kerr was not the only questioner with a liberal bias who was chosen to ask questions. In her syndicated column today, columnist Michelle Malkin writes that internet sleuths have uncovered no fewer than five other Democratic activists whose videos were chosen to air by CNN over the weekend. But the LA Times reported today that at the Democratic YouTube debate televised by CNN back in July, at least two of these citizen interrogators had clear GOP leanings. St. Petersburg Times media reporter Eric Degen says that CNN should be embarrassed about what happened with the question asked by the Clinton supporter.
I think it was embarrassing because CNN promised an event that it really could not deliver. They promised that they would be presenting questions from average citizens, and they promised Republicans in particular that it would be a conversation amongst Republicans. But it was something that they really couldn't guarantee because they didn't do much to scrutinize the backgrounds of the people asking the question. I sympathize with those people who say that it shouldn't matter if somebody has Democratic leanings. They should be able to ask a question in a debate like this. I certainly sympathize with that. But CNN didn't say that's what they were doing. They didn't say that they were going to present questions from anybody to the Republican candidates. What they said they were going to do was find average citizens, and they were going to weed out gotcha questions that might come from the Democratic side. And in fact, the question they highlighted the most, arguably, was a gotcha question from someone who had significant ties to two Democrats who've run for president. So they didn't deliver on what they promised.
Writing about the first YouTube CNN debate with the Democrats, the LA Times reported on Friday during that debate, one video questioner asked the candidates to choose between raising taxes or cutting benefits in order to save Social Security. Another demanded to know whether taxes would rise, quote, like usually they do when a Democrat comes in office. A third featured a gun-toting Michigan man who, in an interview with the Times this week, said he had voted for President Bush twice, who wanted to know if the Democrats would protect his baby, an assault rifle he cradled in his arms. On his blog site, The Feed, Eric Diggins writes that he's not certain who the winner was on Wednesday night, but says one loser was moderator Anderson Cooper.
Well, I think Anderson didn't do a great job of refereeing this debate, and he too often let the interactions between the candidates kind of devolve into two-on-two, I said this, no, I meant that, no, you meant this kind of exchanges. And particularly in the beginning, I saw a news account that noted that the first 17 minutes of the debate was basically an argument between Mitt Romney and Rudolph Giuliani over immigration. Now, the rules of the debate were set up so that that wouldn't happen. A candidate might make a statement or answer a question, and then if they made a specific reference to another candidate, that other candidate got 30 seconds to respond, and then you move on. Because Anderson let that go on for 17 minutes, and, you know, it was interesting and entertaining, and they got off some interesting zingers, but it set a tone for the night where the candidates felt free to disregard the format of the debate and drag it into an area where we were hearing two candidates kind of squabble with each other. And when you only have 2 hours to hear these questions, and the point, supposedly, is getting average people to be able to ask questions of these candidates in a new way, then that seemed to subvert the whole point of the debate for me. I really wish that Anderson had been more aggressive about making the candidates stick to the format of the debate. Some of his follow-up questions I thought were awfully lame. I mean, coming back to Senator Fred Thompson after he runs an attack video against two other candidates on the dais and saying, "Senator Thompson, what's up with that?" I sort of felt like I really wanted a more nuanced, intelligent question there. And I also thought he didn't handle the incident with this Brigadier General very well. The guy got to make basically a speech about his views on gays in the military in the form of asking a question. They'd already played the question that he asked, and they let him sort of go on. And a good moderator would sort of step in, and we didn't really give you the mic so you could you know, make a speech, we gave you the mic so you could ask a follow-up question.
After the debate, reporters and surrogates for the candidates, and in the case of some candidates themselves, entered in what is known as the spin room, where much commentating went on. As the St. Petersburg Times media columnist Eric Deggins reports, nowhere was there a bigger conglomeration of cameras, microphones, and notepads being employed than in front of action movie star Chuck Norris, who was now supporting Mike Huckabee. Deggins says many of the reporters in the room have been covering this campaign for nearly 2 years, and the appearance of a celebrity like Norris was a novelty act that most of them couldn't resist.
Part of it was that he had kind of a star power. Part of it was that he was so incongruous. I mean, what is this guy doing in the spin room after a presidential debate when the rest of the people are sort of these political animals like George Allen or Peter King? And then, you know, the final component of it is, you know, how much can this guy help somebody like Mike Huckabee? I think Chuck Norris being in the spin room was sort of the perfect metaphor for Huckabee's campaign. On the surface, Huckabee is a very pop culture savvy, pop culture friendly, charismatic guy. But scratch the surface of that politician and you find very conservative, very striking positions. And Chuck Norris is almost like, he's like that. If you engage him in a conversation about the issues, you find he's a very traditional guy, despite the fact that he is a film star of some repute. And finally, I wonder if we're not seeing Chuck kind of trying to lay the groundwork for his own political campaign.